Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
1234 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott joining you in Oilers Now. We just heard from Oilers forward Zach Cassian. He was our Oilers Now headliner for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. Still the come in 28 seconds time, John Shannon, who is our Oilers Now NHL insider, and at 105, Keith Gretzky, Oilers assistant GM, to talk a bit about the Oilers rookie team coming up for a tournament. We'll have NHL today and calls, texts, emails, all that kind of stuff. Emails? People still email? At 135. But without further ado, we are going to be heading off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Pay no overtime rates on their 24/7 service repairs. That's how you build a legacy. Legacy Heating and Cooling. We welcome back to the show NHL insider John Shannon. John, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was good, Bob. Yeah, it was good. Lots of college football. I love the college football this year. It's been fun to watch.
It has been. And it's funny, there has been a... it's interesting how it gets politicized because of the crowds, and we don't know the rules. And some, I'm sure in a lot of the stadiums you have to have proof of... vaccination or a negative test, but not all stadiums. I know Georgia, as an example, didn't have that. What are you hearing around the? How close here are they watching the NCAA, the NFL, NBA in terms of how they're streamlining their approaches to see what we're going to end up here for the 2021-22 protocol and sort of vaccination end of things?
Well, I certainly think that they are—they're watching what the NFL is doing, and probably in a little bit of discussion with what's going on with the NBA. In addition to all the authorities and all the provinces and states that they're in, and the clubs are probably doing more of that talking to the individual health authorities. But there, quite frankly, a lot of it has been driven by state rules, like in the state of New York, where you have to be vaccinated to go to any public event. Really, one of the very few NHL teams in the United States that has come out with a rule was Seattle last week, when they said that everybody had to be had to show proof of vaccination.
Yeah.
For their arrival at their arena. The Canadian teams have been much more proactive with what's gone on, and with six of the seven teams saying you have to have proof of vaccination, and the Oilers being the one saying proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test in 48 hours.
Well, I know we had Stu Ballantyne on last week, and we are going to have him on probably next Monday or Tuesday to walk our listeners through the AHS app, because it's not one that you can download and then immediately get your information. So, and this is the new world we're working in, isn't it? That, you know, a week out before you have potential fans coming into your building. I'll be honest with you, John, I found this out on Friday because I tried to download the app, and you don't get access right away to all your personal information for a couple days. So I guess this is the new world we're living in, isn't it?
Well, and it's funny, you're doing it this week, and September 22nd is the date here in Ontario where the Ontario government will issue it. They're calling it a passport, but obviously an app that will affect what's going on with the Ottawa Senators and the Maple Leafs when it comes to attendance to NHL games. I, in fact, am going to the Blue Jay game tonight against Tampa, and I do have to show, the app is not current yet in Ontario, I will have to show proof of vaccination to be one of the 15,000 people allowed into Rogers Centre.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting times, and we see difference between Canada and the United States. And John, for a purely geopolitical position here, could things be changing a week from today? Could we?
Oh, I'm not getting. Listen, I'm not getting into that discussion. Chet has a lot more political animals to talk about what's going to happen next Monday in the election than listening.
All right,
to me.
Let's get on.
Come on now. People listen to this to escape from all that stuff.
Okay.
Unfortunately,
John, as you know, it is part of the equation. It makes a man wonder. All right, now we just had Zach. Now we're going to get into the fun stuff because we both have get-to jobs. We get to do what we do. So we just had Zach Cassian on the show, and right now, Connor Yamamoto is unsigned. It's my belief that there's probably a two-year offer there sitting there for Yamamoto. I don't want to see the same thing happen to Yamamoto that happened to Ethan Bear last year, where Bear got behind the eight ball out of the gate. Bouchard reported in great shape. That said, Ethan got a play. Then Ethan got pure fluke, got a really unlucky concussion. And we just heard Zach talk about some of the challenges he had injury-wise. But I will say this, John, it wasn't lost on me that Zach Cassian finished the playoff series on a line with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and played a regular shift when the Oilers cut down to 9 forwards against Winnipeg. That sent, and all I could think of is when push came to shove, when they cut her down and they needed some size and they needed some speed, he was playing, and then everyone's under the assumption Nugent-Hopkins is going to play either with McDavid or Draisaitl, and I wonder whether or not we might see at least a third of the time Nugent-Hopkins playing on the line with Cassian, and I'm not convinced Cassian's not going to end up playing in the top six. I think there's a distinct possibility that's where Zach's going to end up playing. What do you think?
First of all, the one thing I got out of the interview was one simple word. Zach sounds motivated, which is really, really positive for the Edmonton Oilers and for Zach. The second thing is the attitude of the people in the organization about Zach. When you sit and talk to them and go through the names and the depth of this hockey club, there are people that really still believe in Zach. And as frustrating as last season was for Zach, A, through injury, and B, through, I think he would admit to some inferior play, that there's still a real belief that Zach Cassian can be a really...
Do we lose John?
Sure sounds like it. Let me call him back.
Okay, because we've got him on a... Do we not have him on the reported app? It sounds like we don't have him on a phone line. So John Shannon joining us. Do want to mention at any time that guests on the show receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night in the town, every meal's an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. It was my night to cook last night, so I played the role of the driver, and I just want to put a shout out to Brendan and Taylor and the staff at Roost Chris. They did a great job. I wanted to watch Justin Fields, and unfortunately the Bears just wouldn't play him in their game against Matt Stafford, the Rams. But Roost Chris Steakhouse will take care of you. They're open Wednesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. Again, you can text us at any time on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Bob, don't forget, with Warren Fogle in the picture, does that not also potentially move down Yamamoto's importance a little bit? Well, I think what it does do with Fogle on the left side is it provides a scenario where the Oilers, in theory, could play Fogle with Derek Ryan and maybe Connor Yamamoto. And Fogle's got a little bit bigger presence that can take to the net. Ryan's a smart player. And Yamamoto and Ryan both skate together in Spokane. So maybe sometimes you go that route. Maybe sometimes you play Nugent Hopkins back with Draisaitl and Yamamoto. Maybe you play Hyman with Cassian on the wings with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. There's some options there for Edmonton. Let's go back. Here we go. Let's go back to, I think we got John Shannon. John, you were just talking about the fact that there's a lot of people in the Oilers organization that have got a lot of time for Zach Cassian.
Yeah, they do. And they see what that size that you talked about can contribute. And I think that, when we watch the Stanley Cup playoffs, we see guys built like Zach Cassian contributing, and I think that's what Kenny Holland and Dave Tippett and everybody in the organization is hoping that a motivated Zach Cassian will bring to the plate. Because if it isn't, then, you know, we're going to see a little more disappointment. But if he can play to that potential, then he can be a difference maker. If there's 15 or 17 or 18 goals in that stick, and he uses his body effectively, then Zach Cassian can be a valuable member of this organization.
You know, and it's funny because there are people have criticized the productivity. Kiner Yamamoto, John, he only scored 4 goals in the final 41 games last season. And he played most of the year in the top 6 with either, well, primarily with Leon Draisaitl. But he played with some pretty good players. And he was a little bit snake bit. I still got a lot of confidence in Kiner Yamamoto. But I just, the emergence of Puljujärvi, it gives him, in my opinion, 3 guys as options depending upon, you know, how the game's going and those sort of things, with Archibald obviously in that 4 hole on the right side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I'm a Yamamoto guy, too. I think that, you know, what he does with that body of his,
yeah,
is everybody marvels at how involved he can be, and it comes with age and maturity and being prepared, and you know, this 56 game schedule that they just went through, Bob, I don't have to tell you, at times it felt longer than an 82 game schedule. At times it felt more arduous than the January to May felt more arduous than October to April. And it takes its toll on everyone's body. And a guy like Yamamoto, this is a great learning curve year for him, I think. I think once he's signed, he'll be back, and he'll be back better than ever. I truly believe that. The other thing is, and I heard you talk about the caller talking about Warren Fogle. Here's the challenge I think that Oiler fans and the Oilers need to start thinking about. Let's not try to think about top 6 anymore. I think with a guy like Fogle, I think he could start talking about top 9.
I agree.
I think the Fogle trade in the end, I know it was disappointing that Ethan Bear had to go the other way, but I think Warren Fogle is going to be a great addition to this organization on the wing. The fact that he now has been training with Nurse and with McDavid and with Hyman, when you think, I just think Fogle will come to the organization and be so prepared, be in shape, and be a real contributor on both sides of the puck for the Edmonton Oilers in the upcoming season.
Well, one thing that changes, John, for Edmonton is Fogle, and I know I actually referenced this in a tweet a couple of years ago. I couldn't believe that Warren Fogle had drawn more penalties than Connor McDavid, but that's because, and a couple of years ago, two-thirds through the year, he had. It's because he takes the puck hard to the goal. He and Zach Hyman are two of the top 4 players in the entire league last season on net drives. They attack the net with the puck, and that's often how you draw calls. And by the way, how's Edmonton been on the power play the last 2 years?
Well, Edmonton's done okay on the power play. Let's face it, maybe the best in the league for that 2 year period.
Yeah.
When you have 29 and 97 on either side, and 93 doing what he does, and whether it was Klefbom or whether it was Darnell Nurse or Tyson Barrie, I mean, this team could end up being the Toronto Blue Jays of hockey, Bob. This is a team that is going to score goals. We know it's going to score goals. The key question is will it be able to stop them? And if they can do that, then this team is going to be a real contender.
Where are you at right now with the confidence level of the goaltenders?
Well, I mean, I have ultimate confidence in Mike Smith. I don't think, and for a couple of reasons of what I've been told. A, I'm not worried about age with Mike. I'm not. I think that when you think about how these people condition themselves these days with his attitude, I think, and we've talked about this a few times, his leadership on this club is one of the reasons why he got re-signed and probably got him a second year. The difference with him in that, with him in the room, with his demand of his teammates for accountability, makes a ton of difference to this organization. Whether it's Koskinen or Skinner in the end, I think I would not be surprised. And I have not talked to Kenny about this, but I think you're always trying to improve your goaltending somehow, some way. And if you can try to improve it, then great. But Mikko can be a valuable asset at a certain point. But in the end, this is going to be Mike Smith's team for the most of the year.
We're joined right now by John Shannon, our NHL insider, courtesy of Legacy Heating and Cooling. We're heading into a different type of rookie tournament. I know you made it out to Penticton at least two or three times. We've just got the two games between the Oilers and the Flames. Do you think there's a chance by 2022 we're back in Penticton, John, for a rookie tournament again?
Oh, I think we'll be back next summer, Bob. Absolutely. This is the week. Traverse City starts Wednesday in Michigan for five teams, and I think that I wouldn't be surprised to see the four Western Canadian teams. Maybe if they can twist Ronnie Francis's arm, maybe have Seattle join in too and have a five-team tournament in Penticton this week next year.
Well, I hope that's the case because it's a game changer. John, enjoy the baseball. I mean, the Blue Jays are just literally tearing the cover off the ball right now. It's
aren't they?
It is. Gurriel's having a tremendous September. I don't think anybody thought when they picked up Hernandez that he was going to turn into this type of hitter. I think a lot of people thought he was too undisciplined. He's like a 300 hitter with power right now. They're an exciting squad. No question about it. Bichette's an exciting player. And obviously you've got, the guy's father was a hell of a player. Now the kid's pretty good as well. It's crazy how ironic the numbers are at the same age for Guerrero Jr. to his dad.
Oh, yeah.
It is remarkable. It is nuts when you think about it. So,
well, nobody hits the ball better than this team in the major leagues, and right now they have pitching. Their starting pitching has been great. Even the bullpen, who has been the much maligned bullpen, has done its job certainly in the last 11 games. Remember, Bob, a month ago they were 9.5 games behind the Yankees. Now they're half a game ahead.
What did you think of the 9/11 stuff from a production value perspective that was done in sport over the course of the weekend?
I must admit I didn't watch very much of it. I was bouncing around watching games, but this is a sacred day. Saturday will become a sacred day in the United States, and so when you can pull up the heartstrings of your fellow Americans and do it with some taste and do it with some without being overbearing, then I don't have an issue with it.
Yeah, the 11 o'clock local time kickoffs yesterday, obviously they had the national anthem being sung by a daughter of one of the people that was a victim in 9/11. It was very touching, very well done. And frankly, a tad understated. And it worked. It was effective. John, great stuff.
I think that's the way to be. That's the way to be.
All right, John, we'll touch base. See you later.
Okay, Bob, bye-bye.
Yep, 12:51 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now. We did have Ron Lowe on the show on Friday, and he did a great job talking about being the head coach of the New York Rangers and all things that they had to deal with back in 2001 with 9/11. But when we come back, we're going to jump in our Oilers Now audio vault for direct work, where we're actually going to get some thoughts on Ron's thoughts on the Oilers team toughness. We'll get to that when we return on Oilers Now.
Hi, I'm Darnell Nurse from the Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
We'll get to NHL today for Elite Promotional Marketing today at about 1:35, just before we take some calls on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. It is 12:53 in Edmonton at this time. Oilers Now Audio Vault. We've had Zach Cassian on the show and John Shannon already. The Oilers Now Audio Vault is brought to you by Direct Workwear, where safety meets savings at Edmonton, Fort McMurray, and online at directworkwear.com. Longtime Edmonton Oilers assistant coach, head coach, New York Rangers head coach Ron Lowe talked to us on Friday's show heading into Saturday's 20th anniversary of 9/11. Ron, of course, the former head coach of the Rangers when 9/11 occurred. But I asked Ron to put on his analyst hat. It was a day in which the Calgary Flames signed Erica Branson. Of course, I got Milan Lucic, Brent Ritchie. And I spoke to him and got his thoughts on the Oilers' team toughness.
I don't think you have to fight every night, but you definitely have to show up. And, some of the players that the Oilers got this year have definitely picked up the sandpaper end of it. And I think that's what you have to have. I don't know if you have to have the fight as much as you have to have the people that are willing to fight. And I think it's going to be just a great season. I think it's going to be interesting to see how everything shakes out. I love Hyman. I remember every game that Toronto played against us. At the end of the game, if Hyman was playing, Smith would be freaking in his kitchen. I mean, Smith would be going nuts. He'd be hacking him and whacking him. And I know one thing about Smitty. If somebody's pissing him off in front of the net, then that's the guy I want. And that's, to me, that was the best free agent signing for quite a while on this team.
Zach Hyman and Darnell Nurse at today's car wash in Toronto, the NHL media event. They do one in Toronto, one in New York every year. You can text us on our Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Katie K says, Bob, if Yamamoto doesn't want to sign a two-year deal, then the Oilers should trade him or add him to part of a Koskinen deal. Anybody who's too selfish to want to be on this team based on money relative to what they're worth should be just moved on and done with. It's clear that Yamo had a great opportunity to succeed and get paid in the long run. He just has to stop being your typical young American player and figure it out. Whew. Okay, well, and I think we're looking at it, like, to me, 2 years, $1.5 million. Is that not fair for Yamamoto, who doesn't have arbitration rights? I mean, a one-year deal, he's making a one-year bet on himself at $1 million. 2 years allows the organization. And now people say, ah, Stoffer, you're looking at it from two of an organizational-centric perspective. But realistically, he had, I think, one goal in his final 21 games and four in his final 41. Unfortunately, he didn't match, and not that anybody expected him to match 26 points in 27 games like he did the year before. I'm the guy that wanted him up before during the 1920 season. We're in Detroit, and I was like, the team's too slow. It's not fast enough. Watch the Red Wings practice in the morning. Watch the pace of the Oilers in the that day. And it was like, uh-oh. And Edmonton lost that game 3-1. Now, Edmonton came on and was a different team after Yamamoto got recalled in 1920. But he didn't get back to that level. And he needs to be here. He needs to be here. Again, you can text us 780-496-0063. Bob, you watched the most recent Joe Rogan podcast with Brett Weinstein and his wife. Very interesting. No, I haven't seen it. Eric and Brett Weinstein are two really smart, smart people. I'll have to take a look at that. There you go. Bob, I'm totally thinking a top nine with Yamamoto and Fogle together. I couldn't agree more. We are way deeper, and that's exciting. Well, we'll see. It could be Ryan McLeod's flying right now. I mean, he's flying down there. It's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting to see. Again, you can text us at any time, 780-496-0063. Wes says, I think the Oilers should sign Yamamoto and trade him for a good goalie. I think the Oilers should sign him, get him in on a two-year deal, and see where it goes with him. Right? You can play at Yamamoto's. You can't have seven forwards Yamamoto's size, but you can have a forward like Yamamoto that's tenacious and competitive on the puck. And it really helps when you have a couple other right wingers that are 6'3" and 6'4" and can both skate in terms of Puljujärvi and Cassian. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. When we come back in Oilers Now, Edmonton Oilers Assistant General Manager Keith Gretzky to talk about the Oilers rookie camp roster.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon. On Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.